Okay. Well, it's August 18th. It's Monday and it's study night. Hooray! I just love study night. It's one of my favorite of all things. And tonight we're looking at the Kingdom of God. We're on session 84 and wanted to look at now that we're in the Kingdom of God and that's been established because you enter into the Kingdom of God by being born again, born from above. And we've all experienced that new birth, and we have the Spirit of God. And it says in Colossians, we've read a number of times that we've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So we've been transferred into this kingdom, out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So now that we're here, we can not only enjoy the fact that we're in the kingdom of God, but want to look at what was God's idea regarding how we're to live and function in this kingdom. In Matthew chapter 5, I'd like to start there. This was where Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples on the side of a hill. The Sermon on the Mount, it says in a lot of Bibles, but it doesn't actually say Sermon on the Mount in the text of the Bible. It says that in the chapter heading. I like to call it the teaching on the hill. And in verse 43, one of the things that Jesus Christ taught them, and it was all about the kingdom of God, because when he preached, he would preach the kingdom of God is at hand. And then those that would follow him based on that preaching, he would teach them about this kingdom of God that was at the time at hand. And he was preparing them to enter into it. And in verse 43 of Matthew 5, it says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so?" He's not saying that you shouldn't love those that love you, but he's saying you shouldn't only love those that love you. Okay? If somebody does love you, of course you'll want to love them. But he said, in addition to loving those that love you, love those which hate you. Be kind to everybody. Verse 47, "And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So he's telling them to be imitators of God. And that's one of the ways that people can be children of God. One is by the new birth, where you get the seed of God in you. But also, at this time, it wasn't available for them to be born from above yet. But they could be imitators of God in the way that God would love people. They were to love people in the same way. Now, in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, this is regarding the time that we call the Last Supper. The last time Jesus Christ got to eat with his disciples before he was arrested and crucified. And it says in verse 1, "Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." It means he loved them completely. Because he practiced what he taught his disciples. He always did that himself. He didn't tell them to do things and then he didn't bother. But when he told them to love even your enemies, well, that's what he did. He loved his disciples unto the end, including Judas, who was there, at least for the first part of the Last Supper. When he washed the disciples' feet, he washed Judas's feet along with everybody else's. But if you go down to verse 34, this would be shortly after Judas left the gathering there. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Now they had commandments concerning love, right? Under the law, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. to love your neighbor as yourself, right? If you look at Deuteronomy, there's a number of times where Moses commanded the people to love God and keep his commandments because God wanted them to obey out of love for him. He wanted the people to do what he told them to do because they loved him. And he gave them plenty of reasons to love him. So he wanted loving obedience. He also wanted obedient love because the two greatest commandments, not necessarily the first and the Ten Commandments, but the two greatest commandments, according to Jesus Christ, were to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. So they were to love God with all that they had and all that they were, and to love each other. Now, Jesus Christ is giving them a new commandment, which goes even beyond loving your neighbor as yourself. And that was that they would love one another as he loved them, that they would also love one another. Verse 35, it says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So he didn't want a group of people that were always at odds with each other, trying to outdo each other, doing mean things to each other and laughing at them behind their back. He wanted a group of people that would be willing to give their lives for one another. That's what he was commanding them to do. And in chapter 15, he elaborates on this a little bit further, starting in verse 9. He said, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." So the love of Jesus Christ was based on the love of God for him. He knew and understood the great, great love that his Father had for him. He knew that. He didn't doubt God's love, okay? He never doubted, and he had a great understanding of how much God loved him personally. And he loved his disciples in that same way. Verse 10, he said, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So he's telling them, if you keep my commandments, if you do the things that I have personally told you to do, like he gave them instructions regarding going to Jerusalem, waiting for the Comforter to come, waiting for the promise of the Father, and then once they would receive that, that they would go into all the world and they would preach repentance and forgiveness of sins and redemption. So he gave them instructions. In addition to what was already in the law, he gave them personal orders, commandments, and they were to carry those out of love for him. Okay, let's continue a little further. Verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." So his commandments were not to be burdensome to them, saying, "Oh, I have to do this because Jesus said I have to do this." They were to do these things with the result of having his joy in them, and that their joy might be full. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And he hadn't even given his life for them yet, but he knew he was going to do that, and he fully intended to, and we know that he did because he carried it out. So this love they were to have for each other. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And that's what he did. "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth." And that word servant is doulos, one who would do anything that the master told them to do willingly, right? "Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant, the doulos, knoweth not what his master doeth." He just does what he's told to do. "But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." I've given you information, not just on the basis of what you need to do to carry out your job, but I've given you information to bless you, that you would know the things I know. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Okay? So they were to love one another, not just because of one another, how lovable they happened to be, but out of loving obedience to him. Because he loved each one of them completely, and he wanted each one of them to love those that he loved in the same way. You see? Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, this is addressed to us now who are in the body of Christ, who are in the kingdom of God, because we believed in Jesus Christ and we've been born from above. And it says in verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And the word follower is mimetes, which means an imitator. Okay? "Be therefore imitators of God as dear children." The word dear is from agape, which means love. It's agapetos, means one who is loved. So imitate your Father God as children who are so very much loved, and walk in love as, he gives the standard, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us in offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Okay? So just like Jesus Christ commanded his disciples at the Last Supper, we, all of us who believe in Jesus Christ, are given that same commandment to walk in love as Christ also has loved us. And he has given himself for us in our place in offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor so that we would smell good to God. And this has everything to do with the kingdom of God. Just three verses later, it says, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. But on the other hand, you do." You who are reading this epistle, because you're the faithful in Christ Jesus, those that believe in him, you do have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Since you are in the kingdom of Christ and of God, then this is how you're to walk. This is how you're to function. Walking in love with the standard of Christ himself, who gave himself for all of us. You see? Now, preceding chapter 5, verse 1, let's look at the last verse of chapter 4, because it starts with therefore, you know. Verse 32 of chapter 4 says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So to be kind, that's one of the attributes of love. And it's to be kind in a useful way, okay? It's not just to be nice or to make nice. It's to be kind in the doing of things for somebody that is useful to them, okay? So we want to make ourselves useful to one another, and in a tender-hearted way, and forgiving one another. And this word forgiving, there's a couple of words for forgive. One means to release from, like, an obligation that you have to pay for your crimes. The other is charizomai, and the root of this word is charis, which is grace. And it's to be gracious to one another, okay? The way this word is used in the Bible, it is used at times for forgiveness when someone does something to hurt you, or someone owes you something and they're not going to pay it back, so you turn that debt into a gift. You know, say, okay, I gave you $300, you never gave it back, and it looks like you're not going to be able to. So instead of me holding it against you for the rest of your natural life, I'm going to convert that debt into a gift. I have given it to you, and you don't have to pay me back, and everything's good, you see. But it's also used just to freely give anything to anybody. So it is used in Romans 8:32, where it says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Okay? So in our being kind one to another, useful to one another, we do forgive each other of the things that they might do against us. But it's not only in those situations. We're gracious to everybody all the time. We're always willing to give, and to give freely without expecting something in return. It's not like, I did you a favor, now you owe me a favor. Okay? You give for the love of giving. You give to just to bless somebody. A little earlier in the chapter, it talks about how the whole body is to work together. God's design for the body of Christ. In verse 15, it says, "But speaking the truth in love." And the word speaking the truth, it can also mean just being truthful. It's not only in the words that you speak, but in your faithfulness to always do what's right, to always be loving, to always be consistent, to be true to the Word of God all the time. Okay? So speaking the truth or being truthful in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the whole body is to be contributing to the rest of the body, where each individual that's part of that body is giving out something to bless the others around him within the body of Christ, so that the whole body is constantly edifying itself and doing it in love. Okay, love always builds up. It says that knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Means sometimes knowledge, just if someone is like a know-it-all, just because he knows a lot of things and criticizes the others that don't know everything that he knows, you know, he can get puffed up. But the one that's loving is not puffed up, it's building others up, you know, and that's the way God wants us to function in his kingdom. You see, loving obedience and obedient love, just like he wanted them to do under the law. But God has given us a greater capacity and ability to love. I'd like to go to chapter 3, starting in verse 14. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." All just one big family with God as our Father. "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." And the word Spirit in this verse has to do with the information that God gives by way of the Spirit. Because the inner man is the mind and heart of a man. Okay? So to be strengthened with might by his Spirit is by believing his word, which it says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. By what? Believing. Believing what? By believing his word that he's given us regarding the body of Christ and our functioning within that body. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Christ, the Son of God, the Anointed One, may dwell or live and remain in your hearts. All of your hearts. And it's by faith, by believing. By believing this that we're reading right here for one, but everything regarding the resurrected Christ. We want to believe everything that God has ever said. We want to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We want to understand the Old Testament in light of what God had planned. The need for salvation, the plan of salvation, the things that were told about Christ ahead of time before he came. We want to read the Gospels to see what he did and how those things were fulfilled. We want to read the book of Acts to see how those that believed in him, how they functioned as a church. We want to read the epistles that are addressed to those that have believed in Jesus Christ having been raised from the dead. And when we do that, he dwells in us, in our hearts, and it's by believing the words that have been given to us. And that ye being rooted and grounded in what? In love. Okay, the more we know about Christ, the more we're going to know about love and to be rooted and grounded in it. He who was loved so much by God and who loved everybody else so much, particularly us, he gave his life for us, and we're rooted and grounded in this love. And then we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, when we're loving one another, we'll have a greater ability to comprehend or understand the love of Christ than we would just individually reading it on our own without any contact with other believers. You see? So we're not to isolate ourselves from the rest of the body of Christ, but it's with all saints that we're able to comprehend the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ. That understanding comes as we're living it with each other. you see. And God has brought us into his kingdom where everybody in the kingdom has this capacity to love. And he put it in us. Look at Romans chapter 5. God put within us the ability to love in this way. Because he wouldn't command us to do something that he didn't make us able to do, right? And if we go to chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad or poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us." So when God poured out that gift of Holy Spirit, and it entered into our hearts when we believed that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and confessed that he's Lord, that Spirit entered into us. And at that point, the love of God was poured out in our hearts. That's when we received that ability to love in the manner of Christ, who gave his life for us and for others. You see, we now have that ability. It takes the renewing of the mind to realize that and to practice it. But that's okay, because we have this Word of God that we can renew our mind to. It's not like you have to figure it out for yourself. But it's just great what God's done. 1 John chapter 3. And this is something God has always wanted, to have a family that would love him and love each other. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." The word "bestowed upon" is the Greek word didomi, which means to give. God has given us this manner of love, you see? It's not just that he loved us, but he gave us this ability to love. So behold what manner of love the Father hath given us, that we should be called the sons of God. That agrees with Ephesians 5 that we read, that we're to be imitators of God as dear children. So as we're doing that, as we're loving, as God loves, as Jesus Christ loved, then we are the children of God, first of all, by way of the new birth with the Spirit of God within us, and then also by the imitation of God in the manner that he loves. Okay? It says, "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Those in the world that have refused to believe in God don't have that same capacity to love. They do to an extent, but we're talking about the love of God and the love of Christ here. Now, if we go to chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil." It's comparing the two, okay? "Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And specifically to love one another as Jesus Christ loved. So in this chapter, John is writing to the younger believers and cautioning them about those that not only did not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but are trying to convince others that he's not. Okay? They're promoting a lie that's harmful, because when you try to convince people that Jesus is not the Christ, then that robs their receiving of eternal life. Right? So the devil was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He robbed Adam and Eve of their eternal life by a cleverly constructed lie that they believed. And he will continue to lie and try to rob people of the life that they could have from God. Those that are born of God, they're not going to do that. They're going to be loving one another. So he's saying, this is one of the ways you can tell the difference between those that are actually born of God and those that are the children of the devil. Look at what their lives produce. Are they manifesting the love of God? Would these people give their life for the sake of those that believe in Jesus Christ? Or are they trying to do the opposite? Like Cain, verse 12, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one." Who is the wicked one? Well, the devil. "And he slew his brother." He killed him. And wherefore? Why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. So what did he do? Instead of changing and being like his brother, listening to God and doing what was right, he just decided to kill his brother instead. In verse 16, it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God and of God is in italics, and it's really the love of Christ, because it says, because he laid down his life for us. It was the love of God, because he said, I love you as God has loved me. But it's the love of Christ, because Christ is the one that laid down his life for us. God is the one that gave his son to lay down his life, but Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We should be willing to sacrifice our lives for the sake of one another. And not only to be willing to die, but also to be willing to inconvenience ourselves or incur a cost to help another, you see? Verse 17 says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And this is another one of those phrases where not in word and tongue only, okay? We do want to speak kind words. We do want to speak loving words. We do want to express in words our love for one another, right? Nothing wrong with that. But we don't want to let it stop there. We want to not only tell people that we love them, but in deed and in truth, we want to show that, demonstrate that love. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now we know that there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, it says in Romans, right? This word condemn is a different word, okay? It doesn't mean to consider worthy of death. It just means you realize that there's something wrong. You feel bad about something. And we've all experienced that. If not, we should from time to time. If you do something to hurt somebody, or if you do something that's not right, you should feel bad. Not for a long period of time, but you should realize if you've done something wrong, you got to make changes. But this says, if our heart condemn us, if we feel bad about something, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And the reason why our heart should condemn us not is not that we should just be hard-hearted and not care about what we do. We should care. But we want to get to the point where we're actually doing the will of God, you know? Mm-hmm. When you see a person have need, that you do something to help them that will really be useful and helpful to that person. If someone's hurt you, that you do forgive them. If anytime you see an opportunity to bless somebody, that you take that opportunity. Because you're not doing it just to make yourself feel good, but you're doing it for God and for Jesus Christ that we love and who loves that other person, you see? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments, okay? Not just because we're blowing it and don't care, you know? Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And isn't that what the kingdom of God is really all about? That God's will is being done upon earth as it is in heaven. How? By people who love God, who take the time to find out what God's will is from his word, and who willingly and obediently do it. That was the whole plan, to have people that would have that desire. And God, when he puts that spirit in you, he can work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he does that. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. That's not a burdensome commandment, is it? That we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. We should believe everything that the word says about Jesus Christ. That he is God's son, that he is the anointed one. Everything that he did, everything that accomplished, we should soak that up. We should devour those words that tell us about these things and believe those things in our hearts. And then love one another as he gave his commandment, which is to love one another as he has loved us, and even giving his life for us. So chapter 5, let's go to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Okay? And how does a person see and enter into the kingdom of God? By being born from above, right? To be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit. So whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, that's God who did the begetting, right? Everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. That would be Jesus Christ and every believer, right? Every believer that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So we love God who begat each one, because to beget means to procreate, to regenerate, to be the father of a baby that will grow up and be a person, right? So everyone that loves God that gave birth to his son Jesus Christ, and to every one of us that believes in Jesus Christ, because we're all born of God, if we love him, then we love ourselves and everyone else that is born of him, right? You have to love yourself because God does, and you have to love every other believer because God does. And we want to always be in agreement with God and doing his will. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And we just read what they are: to believe in the name of Jesus Christ, his son, and to love one another as he gave his commandment. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And it's our faith, our believing regarding Jesus Christ. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? See? And let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. There's things here about the kingdom of God. Doesn't use the words kingdom of God, but it uses the words that describe the kingdom of God. And it talks about that love that we're to have for one another. So we'll start in verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's written to those who have God as their Father. They've been born of him because Jesus Christ is their Lord, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Means we've been born again, and he's the one that did it. He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Last week we looked at the hope of our calling, the hope of glory that we have. So God, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the main thing that we all believed to enter into the kingdom of God, so that we could be begotten again. And it's to an inheritance. Remember, those that are idolaters and all that stuff have no inheritance in the kingdom of God? We do. And it's to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith, through believing, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now let's go down to verse 22. Verse 22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto what? Unfeigned, that means unpretended, genuine, unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So being born again, we can love one another with that pure heart fervently. You see that? That new birth, that love of God that was poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given unto us, that Spirit by which we were born from above, gives us the ability to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Okay? Hot love. And let's go to 1 Thessalonians. I just have a little bit of time. And it will just take that little bit of time to read through this epistle together. It's a short epistle. But when I'm looking at a topic in a book of the Bible, sometimes what I like to do is just read it through and look for, like we're going to look for the word love in here and words related to love. I picked this one because this specifically says in chapter 2, verse 12, that you walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Okay? It uses the words of God's kingdom in this epistle right here, which it does in most of the other epistles as well at some point. But it's right here, and the chapters are short, so I'm going to just read through this. And when I see something regarding love, I'm going to go ding, 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 ding. Okay? I'm going to hit the ding button. A little game I like to play. I can read the word very quickly and intently when I'm searching for something like this, and something you might want to try yourself. So, verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Ding, 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 ding. And patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved. Ding, 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 ding. Beloved is from the verb agapeo, to love, and it's to be loved. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, that God has chosen you. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. For yourselves, brethren, know of our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you. Even as a nurse cherisheth her children, so being affectionately desirous of you. And that's a ding, ding, ding. That's a love term. We were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Ding, 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 ding. You were beloved. We loved you to the point that we would have imparted our own souls to you, given our lives for you. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by any means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, ding, 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 charity is love, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, ding, 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 one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ding, 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 ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Isn't that cool? God not only gave us the ability to love, but he teaches us how, individually, to love one another. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Ding, 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 ding. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love, ding, 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 for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So just wanted to read that together with you and see all the times that love comes up and how even God himself will teach each individual how to love one another. Isn't that great? So all we need to do is be receptive to him and coachable and meek and humble and be willing to do the will of God. And life is great. It's the way that God intended it to be. And it will be that way in the ages to come, that everyone in the kingdom of God will be loving one another, and it'll just be a wonderful existence, something that God has wanted for many, many years, and he's going to get it, and we get to be a part of it. So that's all for tonight. God bless everybody.